Hi there, I'm Amy Griffiths and I'm one of the journalists in Manx Radio's newsroom and you're listening to Newscast.
Graham Kirby, I'm the chair of the RTLC.
I'm Noel Capewell, I'm the secretary to the RTLC. The Road Transport Licensing Committee is the body on the island that is tasked with regulating public passenger vehicles and goods vehicles over a certain weight. So public passenger vehicles include taxis, private hire cars, private hire minibuses, and buses.
So how then on the Isle of Man are taxi fares set?
The legislation gives the RTLC power to set the tariffs, which are the maximum fares that a taxi or someone using a fare meter can charge. Now, there are two tariffs. There's tariff one, which goes from 6 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. And tariff two covers the other hours. Now, tariff two is a higher tariff, and tariff two can also be used on certain bank holidays and Christmas Day. I think from 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve and 6 o'clock on New Year's Eve as well.
Who sets those fares then? How are they decided?
Well, the RTLC puts feelers out to the trade and any representative bodies to ask. We tend to do it every year, but there's no strict timetable on when we do it. It can be done at any time, and we ask the trade for submissions and proposals about what they would like to see in the tariff, whether they'd like any changes or whether they'd like it to remain the same. So we wait for those responses to come in. And then the RTLC, which is the committee itself, they're not civil servants, they're private individuals, and they meet on average once or twice a month. And at a meeting, I will collate all the responses, put them to the committee, and then the discussion will be had and a decision on the tariff will be reached.
And for example, so this year the tariffs are going to be going up?
It comes into force on April 22nd, and it's only tariff one that's increasing. It's increasing by 20p at the flag drop, which is basically at the beginning of the journey once you get in. Now, the important thing to remember about the tariffs are that if you get picked up from a taxi rank or you hail a taxi down the street, they must use the tariff. They must use the taxi meter by law. It's an offence not to. And also the tariff is the maximum they can charge. So if the tariff says £10.50 and the driver goes, oh, just give me a tenner, that's fine. If the tariff says £10.50 and the driver says, give me 11 quid, that's an offence.
And that is, I think, at the crux of what this Facebook post was about, isn't it? And the idea that there does seem to be a small minority of drivers who are potentially picking up punters off the street, getting them in the cab and saying, OK, well, I'll charge you X amount to get you to wherever it is that you're going, which is then considerably more than it would be if it had been metered. And that's the accusation that's been put out there. And so is that something that you as the RTLC are aware of and have heard about as well?
We hear rumours, but the main issue is without a complaint to us and without evidence attached to that complaint, there's nothing that we can do. And if you're in a taxi and you ever feel like you've been overcharged, the best things to do are ask for a receipt from the driver, or if you've paid via your phone, there'll be some mechanism to prove how much you paid. It would be very helpful if you could ask the driver to see his identification badge, which will give him his unique driver number. And if you, admittedly, that could be confrontational, so some people might not want to do that. But certainly, once you get out of the vehicle, if you can note down the vehicle registration, because if you can give us the registration, then, and the time of the journey and where it started and where it finished, then we can go and investigate hopefully work out whether the fare they charged you was egregious or not.
Because, Graham, how difficult is it to investigate these kind of incidents without that sort of information?
Well, you've always got the situation in these cases where he said, she said, they said, I said, we said. And that is no good to anybody. The evidence, everything has to be evidence-based. If we take action against somebody, then they always have the right to go to the Deputy High Bailiff for an appeal. And if then we're into the court of law part. So if we haven't got all the evidence to hand that we can prove without shadow of doubt what's happened, then we're wasting our time.
Because what can the RTLC do? I mean, how can it enforce these rules, or can it?
Yes, we can. There are certain functions within the Act where we can suspend or we can revoke licences if taxi drivers and or operators break the law.
I mean, ultimately, the Road Transport Act 2001 states that all a PPV driver, that's public passenger vehicle driver, so a taxi driver, must be a fit person. And the committee uses a definition from a High Court judgment, McCall versus Rushcliffe Borough Council. Then the year escapes me. But basically, it says that a driver must be honest and mentally fit and
physically fit.
But basically, the honest bit. So if they're overcharging their passengers and not being honest, are they still a fit person? And that is one approach that the committee would use to either suspend or revoke that driver's driver licence.
And within this Facebook post, it did say that the person who posted it, they wanted to remain anonymous, but they said that they felt like not enough was being done to try and clamp down on this as an issue. How do you respond to that? Do you feel like enough is being done?
Well, from that point of view, I'm not quite sure what they think should be done. If we put an inspector at the taxi ranks, then obviously everybody getting into a taxi will be on the meter. The minute that inspector leaves that location, then they can go back. We need people to complain direct to us at the RTLC, and with the evidence that Noel alluded to earlier on, and then we can take action. We can't take action on a social media post or on hearsay or anything like that. We need the customers to complain to us.
And the thing that's important to remember as well is there's a difference too between a taxi that you hail on the street or jump into at a taxi rank compared to a private hire vehicle, for example, isn't there? And it's important to note those differences.
Yeah, so a apply for hire taxi, it will have a multicoloured or a plate on the back with different segments with different colours indicating the district they are entitled to apply for hire in. Off the top of my head, I think the Douglas and East is green. The airport or Mulu is blue. The South is yellow. And I think the Northwest is red, or maybe that's maybe the other way around. But anyway, without that plate on the back, they should not be on taxi ranks. They should not be stopping to pick people up off the street. If it's a private hire car, they will have a little yellow or rectangular plate in the front windscreen. Now, it's important to remember that a apply-for-hire taxi can do private hire work as well, but the reverse is not true. A solely private hire car cannot sit on the ranks.
The other thing to remember is that the private hire car has to be pre-booked. And at the stage of pre-booking, that's when you can agree the price for the journey that you are booking, and that is agreed before you actually start the journey.
Either booking or when you first get into the car, and it's perfectly fine for the driver to suggest, you know, do you mind if we use the meter? As long as you agree with it, that's fine.
So I suppose then, what would be your main advice to anybody who's getting into a taxi, and I suppose particularly if they're concerned that they've been misquoted a price for their journey?
If they actually go through with the journey and complete it, always have a record of what you've paid, be that a receipt or some record on your phone.
Because you can ask for a receipt as well, can't you? Again, yes. Which is something I think not many people know. I certainly didn't.
And always get the registration of the vehicle. The PPV driver number would be the icing on the cake. By law, they must display that or carry it on their person. So some people have it, you know, stuck on their dashboard. So it with some drivers, it is inside. If you want to ask for them, they have to show it to you. But I understand some people might, you know, back off from that. So getting the registration of the vehicle is just as good. The important thing is to get out there that the Road Transport Licensing Committee exists. It is the body that regulates taxis and other public passenger vehicles. The email address is rtlc@gov.im. And if you send an email to us, we might not respond immediately, especially today when I'm not in the office, but we will respond to all emails.
What happens if, for example, somebody makes a complaint about this, it goes through the proper procedures and it's found that they were in fact overcharged for their journey? Are they able to be compensated for that? What is the process for it? What happens in that sense?
Unfortunately, the legislation doesn't allow the RTLC or probably even indeed the police to compensate the passenger or reimburse the passenger, if you will. Now, I think the RTLC would always encourage, especially if the driver admits to doing it, which has happened before, the RTLC would always encourage the driver to reimburse the passenger. Because it's, in my experience, I've been doing this job for 14 years, and when overcharging occurs, it's not always malicious. Sometimes it does happen. Accidents do happen. And in the cases where it's accidentally happened, the driver nearly always reimburses the passenger. Mm. So there is that. But other than that, it would be up to if there's evidence that proves that overcharging has taken place, the RTLC would hold a hearing with the driver. And depending on whether the driver admits to it or not, then, you know, we would have to see what would happen. But as I think we said before, the ultimate sanctions are potential suspension of driving licence or even revocation.
And how does the meter itself work then? Because there are also some other extras that can be included outside of the tariff, aren't there? So what are they? How do they work and how can they be applied?
So the two main there are three main extras, and they are for people in addition to the person hiring the vehicle, so any extra passengers, and also any suitcases or similarly large items that go in the boot. And the new tariff, which is coming into effect on 22nd of April, it's going to be charging 80p for an extra person or 80p for a suitcase. And what happens in those circumstances is when you get into the vehicle, the driver will press the extras button and the extra increments go up in 40p, sets of 40p on the new tariff. So if you have if you're a single person with one suitcase, the driver presses that twice and 80p gets added to the tariff. I mean, it must be stressed that these are optional extras. There is no legislation that says the drivers must apply them, and some might not. It's totally the driver's discretion, but they have every right to. I think that's the important thing to remember. And the other extra is for picking up at the airport, there's a £2 extra fee.
And is there any way to prove if those have been added incorrectly, for example, or, you know, and not even, I'm not suggesting intentionally malicious, but just is there any way of being able to prove what has been added?
Unfortunately, you're unlikely to get a detailed or itemised receipt. But the best way to do it is if you feel that you have been overcharged, you know, obviously get the registration, come to the RTLC with the time of the journey, but also say there were three of us in the vehicle, or I was alone and I didn't have any suitcases with me, or I was alone and I had two suitcases. Then we can factor the extras that the driver was able to charge into the overall fare and hopefully determine whether the passenger was overcharged or not.
And just out of curiosity and interest, why are there those extra fees for those circumstances? Why do they exist?
When you've got extra passengers in the vehicle, or you've got heavy luggage in the boot, then of course there is more weight in the car. There's more that reduces the miles per gallon, etc., for the car. So it actually costs more to run the car for that particular journey. So these are extras that taxi companies throughout the UK charge.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.